Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Florida fell from 6th to 13th place in the latest state-by-state ranking and report card on the quality of nursing home care. The report comes from the Texas-based nonprofit nursing home resident advocacy group Families for Better Care, Incorporated. The results indicate a trend of declining inspection ratings for nursing homes across the country. Survey data collected from the federal and state governments finds that fewer than 30% of nursing homes across the country were capable of achieving an above-average inspection rating. That marks a 15% decline from the previous year's report. The advocacy group says nursing home staffing shortages appear to be the central issue, with cases of abuse, neglect, or mistreatment of residents occurring in one of five nursing homes in nearly half of states across the country. On Monday, when the report was released, I sat down with Families for Better Care Executive Director and former Florida Long-Term Care Ombudsman Brian Lee for a closer look at the report's findings and recommendations going forward. Since this is a previously recorded conversation, we won't be taking calls, but listeners can still weigh in on the conversation via Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media, or on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. Let's hear that conversation now. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, can you maybe give me a broader view about this state-by-state report card and ranking? I understand this is the third year that your organization has put this out.
Yes. We believe this report card is important because it kind of gives a 30,000-foot view of what's happening in nursing home care across the nation and in every state by doing a comparative ranking of the nursing quality that that residents are receiving in on a state-by-state basis. And the goal of this nursing home report card is to provide information to residents and families, policymakers, on what's working, what's not working in nursing homes, to applaud those facilities that in those states that are doing a really better job in providing good care to residents, and to showcase those states that aren't doing such a good job, so everyone can start talking and have a conversation about what can be done to improve the quality of care and safety that residents are receiving. And what we've seen in this report is some of the states that have traditionally not done such a good job continue to not do such a good job. But looking at Florida, Florida's tended to be in the higher echelon as far as overall quality, looking at this these comparative rankings, again, with other states. But we did see in Florida this year is a little bit of slippage. In our previous report, Florida moved up to number 6 overall, I believe, and now they've slipped back from an A to a B and dropped to number 13. And the reason why that happened, and we look at 8 different quality measures that are based upon inspection data, staffing data, ombudsman information, and we put it into this calculation and we come out with this these letter grades and rankings for every state. And what we've seen in Florida this year is we saw a little bit better scores when it comes to the direct care hours provided to residents, but on the whole, there are fewer facilities that are providing more staffing to residents. And so what that means is that those nursing homes that score higher ratings with in staffing, there are fewer of them than there have been in the past. We also have seen a trend in more deficiencies being imposed against nursing homes that really kind of brought the grade down a little bit. And also we're seeing that health inspections have also declined, the quality in health inspections within nursing homes. So it's been a substantial decrease in that, and then also a substantial increase in facilities with deficiencies.
Would it be fair to characterize a lot of the issues you're concerned about here are maybe a symptom of this broader issue of simply not having enough staff?
Yeah, I think that one thing that Florida is really targeted on really goes back to 2001 when Florida enacted the really supposed to be the gold standard in staffing. But only maybe for a few minutes, a few years ago, that the state ever achieved that pinnacle, that staffing pinnacle. And it's been a fight for residents and the families and advocates to really force nursing homes, force the state to enforce the laws when it comes to staffing. And we're seeing that show up within these reports, this inspection information, is that the staffing just isn't there. And it's there's so many nursing homes that are not staffing at high levels. And they really, Florida needs to do a little bit better job in patrolling nursing homes and making sure that they are compliant with the staffing standards. And then also the nursing homes themselves should do a little better job self-regulating, policing themselves to ensure that they're providing the highest staffing standards within their homes. I mean, just a few years ago when we published this report, in our last report card, Florida's nursing homes, there were about 75% that had above average staffing levels. So you had 75% of the homes that were doing a pretty good job as far as staffing. Since our last report card, that number today is just over half. So, I mean, you're talking a significant proportion of facilities that have dropped in providing a high level of staffing within their homes. And I think that Florida can do a better job. I mean, I think that the nuts and bolts are there within the state to do a better job, to get it back into really an A category, A ranking when compared to other states. But, you know, Florida still has issues. I mean, just a couple days ago, last week, there was a list published of 400-plus nursing homes across the nation that were kind of on this watch list, national watch list, the special focus list. And Florida has its own state watch list, and we still have about 1 in 5 nursing homes are on that watch list. 20% of nursing homes are on the state's watch list for potentially dangerous conditions. So things can be done to make life and care better for residents. The report is a good report, you know, compared to other states, but again, it could be better.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the data you gathered regarding the results of nursing home inspections and how that seems to have declined. You mentioned, you know, reports from long-term care ombudsman programs responding to complaints. Does this data also come from the regular state inspections that, say, would happen under a State Department of Elder Affairs or whatever the equivalent would be in a various state?
Yeah, this would be the inspection information that's collected by the Agency for Healthcare Administration. They are the agency that's responsible for enforcing the laws when it comes and the regulations pertaining to nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Going to broaden it a little bit. They collect all this information, this data, not including their inspections. They collect the staffing data, it's all public information. And it's then sent up to the feds at the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And that information is, again, publicly available. So we have the Agency for Healthcare Administration with the inspection and staffing data primarily that we looked at. And then, of course, the ombudsman data, the long-term care ombudsman is under the purview of the Department of Elder Affairs. And so what we kind of key in on the ombudsman information is the percentage of complaints that they investigate that they are able to verify and then proceed investigating. So the ombudsman data, it seems as though, and again, the ombudsman, I think they verified about 40% or so of their complaints. So that is a higher rating because that shows that the issues, either they're resolved by the time the ombudsman gets there or they are able to work it out or something along those lines. So the ombudsman scored pretty well as far as, again, compared to other states.
And one of the things I read in the press release about this report when it comes to the federal quality measures you're using for these scores has to do with rates of, I think, what you call severe deficiencies. What would be an example of a severe deficiency? Like, what would that cover?
Yeah, we categorize those as those instances in which there are immediate jeopardy or actual harm occurs to residents. So that could be anything from medication errors that resulted in harm to a resident to residents falling, fracturing a hip, to immediate jeopardy circumstances where maybe someone drowned, a low-income facility drowned, or the resident had an advanced directive in place to have CPR performed if there's a full code status. They have heart attack or something, and then the staff do not abide by that advance directive, and then the resident dies from that. That would be kind of like example of immediate jeopardy. I mean, there's pressure sores, falls, fractures. I mean, there are a litany of problems that are kind of grouped into these categories that, you know, and Florida did okay when it came to the percentage of severe deficiencies. And, you know, again, this is a comparative to other states, okay? So we could keep that in mind. I mean, the percentage of those facilities with severe deficiencies are about 6%, 7% of the total facilities in the state were cited for a severe deficiency. 7% of, you know, 680 nursing homes, still a lot of nursing homes. And I think that even though that the state scored high, you know, going back to what you said earlier about the staffing, if there was enough staff in place, a lot of these issues could be prevented, a lot of these severe deficiencies. I mean, many times the pressure sores that occur in facilities are the result of there not being enough staff to turn residents properly, to assist them to the bathroom because of incontinence issues, which leads to pressure sores, or not enough staff to prevent a resident from falling from a wheelchair or a bed. A lot of the underlying problems that happen, a lot of the underlying incidents that happen within facilities go back to, you know, the underlying issue is staff, the lack of staff in facilities. So Florida could do a better job. I think that what we have called for is across the board is that there needs to be a really tough staffing standard nationwide. I mean, individual states can do this. Florida's already taken upon itself to do it, but never reached that pinnacle yet that the lawmakers promised back to residents and their families back in 2001. In fact, that's been tarnished over the years and whittled down. But we're asking for tough staffing standards, but we're also asking for legislatures, state legislatures, Congress to provide the money necessary to nursing homes to pay for that staffing standard. Because the one thing that the industry talks about frequently is that there's a lack of funding. There's a lack of Medicaid funding. There's a lack of Medicare funding. And they're heavily reliant upon that funding to really survive. We've said in the past that this industry is highly profitable. They continue to be highly profitable. But I think we've come to a time where we just need to, like, really sit down, come together, negotiate out a really agreeable staffing standard and the money needed to pay for it. Because I think we're all tired. The industry's tired of it. We're tired of it. The consumers are, the advocates. We're tired of the abuse and neglect that's occurring in far too many of these facilities. And we need to pay for something. We need to pay for the better care that we are expecting our loved ones to receive in facilities. I mean, if you ask any taxpayer, if an extra dollar would go towards nursing homes to pay for better care so people wouldn't suffer and die unnecessarily, I'm sure probably people would pay for that. And I think that it wouldn't take that much money. But I think we need to hammer that out and figure out how it is that we can get to a point where we're not talking about these reports anymore. We're talking about the good care in these facilities. And I think we all want to see that.
So when it comes to, you know, the ideas that Families for Better Care is advocating for in terms of a specific mandate that federal funds be used to hire more staff, where are you on that? Is this more an idea you're pushing, or are we at a point where there are any lawmakers at the federal level you're working with to actually get a bill introduced?
Yeah, this is our first idea. We're floating the idea out there, and we're seeing who's interested to sit down to have the conversation. I mean, we're coming out publicly saying, look, we talked about how, again, the profitability of this sector is. It's been substantial for years. There's a lot of wealth in this sector. There continues to be a lot of wealth in this sector. And, you know, we talked about that to really, we're almost blue in the face, but it seems like nobody's listening and people aren't getting good care. So I think that if the stumbling block has been in the past for the industry to not enact these standards, that it's been about, you know, it's a monetary issue for them, then I think that, you know, we sit down and have an honest conversation with policymakers, and hopefully there are many out there who are interested in this, and we're putting it out there for folks to really kind of work with us to have that conversation, to see what that number needs to be, so that whether it's a staffing number, which we've kind of really latched onto, the National Consumer Voice has come out with a 4.1-hour staffing standard, total hours. We've kind of looked like that's our starting point, and see where the money is in that and how much we need to pay for that, and to have those conversations. And I think that it's become too easy for many of us to go to our corners and advocate for the positions that we're familiar with. But I think that it's time to come together and for the betterment of our loved ones and their safety and their care to fix these nursing home problems. I mean, just again, last week published by congressional leaders, a secret list of nursing homes that could be put onto a national hall of shame list. That, I mean, why do we have secret lists? Why do we have secret problem facilities? Again,
I was just about to ask you that. Why is it a secret?
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to have that. I mean, we want to be honest with each other. We want to be honest about what it takes for the good quality. And we're happy to talk with our friends in the industry on how to make that happen. I know that many families that we speak with on a regular basis are ready for the care to be better. And what we've seen time and again is that, again, many of the underlying problems that exist in nursing homes go back to one singular issue, and that's a lack of staff. So if we need to figure out how it is to pay for that staffing, I think, policymakers need to figure that out. And since so many of these nursing homes are so reliant upon the Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements, maybe we need to look at changing up the calculation to help them to pay for this, the staffing. But there has to be an agreement on the side of the industry to say, okay, we're willing to come to the table and agree to a staffing mandate and in exchange for, you know, additional reimbursement. We'll be happy to go there. I mean, we got to start somewhere. And what we're seeing in this data and in these reports, these national public reports about all these, you know, problem nursing homes that still continue to exist. I mean, 400 is just a smidgen of what the, you know, really it's about 6,000 nursing homes today are rated as one-star and two-star nursing homes across the country. Okay, so that's a whole lot more than just 400. I mean, we're talking about 6,000. So the care needs to be better. Hopefully our report motivates states, especially those that are having a difficult time of providing good care and continue to have a difficult time, to take a harder look at themselves and to have the tough conversations on what it is that they need to do to pull up the bootstraps and fix this problem. I mean, we desperately are seeking better care for the residents.
Is there lobbying you think needs to be done on the state level as well? Because I'm thinking if there is federal funding that's not directly related to reimbursements from something like Medicaid or Medicare, and then the federal government maybe isn't interested in putting in these specific mandates about the money being used to hire more staff, ostensibly that federal funding would be, you know, allocated by some state agency. Would you be interested in working with state legislators to try and impose something like that for federal funding that's used on nursing homes in their states?
Yeah, I think, John, we've come to a point where we need to have all the conversations all on the table. And whether it's additional funding and through Medicaid reimbursements for nursing homes, and how it is that we can work to achieve that again, if, and this is a huge if, okay, if the policymakers and the industry and their lobbyists agree that a tougher staffing standard needs to be in place. I mean, Florida already has a pretty decent staffing standard, but still it's not what was promised to residents in 2001 in exchange for tort reform. We've never achieved that, really. They need to get back to what they promised. They need to make it happen like yesterday. And then, you know, we could start figuring out how to get the funding to pay for the folks to work in these facilities to achieve that standard. And I think that what it would happen, and we did start to see that in Florida, as the staffing standard crept upward, you started to see the deficiencies come down. You started seeing the quality of care improve. You started to see the frequency and the severity of litigation against nursing homes decline because of the increased staffing and the increased quality of care. So it's a win for everybody, and everybody knows the solution. It's just, are we going to work to achieve it or not? So we're putting it out there that we're happy to sit down and advocate for and work with the industry to advocate for additional funding if they're willing to sit down and work to achieve a tough staffing standard that's going to be enforced, that's not going to be ignored, that will be enforced for those nursing homes not achieving that, that it'll be a tough enforcement against them, some punitive measures. So we have to do something to try to improve the care overall, because what we're seeing in these reports and through this, you know, comparative rankings, is there still has a lot more has to be done to improve the overall quality.
I just wanted to ask this. This is just, you know, aside from Florida altogether, but what happened in Vermont? They went from number 3 to number 31?
Yeah, they tanked. They really had a lot of difficulty with inspections, deficiencies, staffing, and it's kind of like the nightmare scenario happened in Vermont. And what's interesting too, John, is that this is not a blue-red state issue. And what I've seen is that a lot of sometimes the red states perform a little better, and sometimes the blue states don't perform as well. And you're looking at some of the larger states like Illinois, New York, those are traditionally blue states not performing well. But then you have red states not performing well too. So you have like Texas and, you know, southern states you think would be performing well. They're not. So it's what's the public's interest? What's the policymaker's interest in protecting our parents and grandparents? And, you know, one thing that nursing home residents and their families get a lot of is a lot of lip service, a lot of promises. And a lot of people seem to be interested in protecting the elderly. But at the end of the day, we don't see the laws passed or the enforcement needed, the funding provided to take better care of our loved ones. And I think that, you know, we all who have been in this, you know, we've really been bird dogging and been in this fight for years, the industry side and the advocacy side, we're all wanting to see the care to be better. And I know there are a lot of good providers in Florida who want to see the care better and who get frustrated by those nursing homes that don't perform as well as they could.
Gives everybody a bad name.
And I think it's incumbent. Yeah, to give the industry a bad name. And there are a lot, again, I want to be clear, there are a lot of good nursing homes that do work really hard, and their staff, they work really hard to provide good care. Did problems happen? Sure. But, you know, they get frustrated by the bad name they're given by these providers that just seem to be in it for the bottom line. And I think that we need to figure out a way to ensure that those that are not doing as well are trying to get them up to the same performance level as those that are doing a good job. And I think the best way to do that is start with a staffing standard, minimum staffing standard, and then making sure that the funding is there to pay for it. Because, you know, we've called for staffing standards in the past. I know the Consumer Voices called for it. Other advocacy groups similar to ours have, Ombudsman have. But one thing we haven't really called for is the funding to pay for these staffing standards. And that's what the industry has always kind of really have seen that they've been reticent about these standards is the funding issue. So let's remove that obstacle. Let's get the funding that we need to have for these nursing homes to pay for better care through increased staffing, through well-trained caregivers providing better care to our loved ones. And I think that we'll see really a 180 nationwide. If that was to happen, there would be a 180. The care would be much, much better. Again, the lawsuits would go down. The quality of care would be better. Deficiencies go down. Inspections would improve. Everybody knows what's the solution. Well, let's just work to achieve it.
Well, Brian, you've answered my questions, you know, pertaining to the data in this report. Is there anything else you'd want to add or anything I should have asked but didn't?
I just want to say that folks out there, they need assistance. You know, one thing, Family Spirit of Care exists to advocate for people, not just systemically, but also individually. If there are issues that they need, they can always feel free to call us, go to our website. We just updated our website with not only this nursing report card, but refreshed ourselves, our brand and everything. And we're trying to make it easier for people to reach out to us for assistance. And we're out there. So they'd help, they can call us at 850-491-0066.
Well, Brian Lee, thanks so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
All right, John. Well, thank you.
That was Families for Better Care Executive Director Brian Lee talking about findings and recommendations from the organization's newly released state-by-state ranking and report card on the quality of nursing home care in the U.S. That's all the time we've got for today's show. Thanks to our guests from the earlier segment of the program about the history of Juneteenth, Black History Society board member and director of diversity and inclusion at the Lee County School District, Jared Eady, and FGCU history professor, Dr. Jeffrey Fortney. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Halligan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.